Gospel Solutions for Families is a program brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to the Mormon Channel. This program is Gospel Solutions for Families. Today, we are joined with two members of the Primary General Presidency, Sister Jean A. Stevens. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. And Sister Cheryl A. Esplin.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you both here. My name is Matthew O. Richardson. I'm second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. And today, we will be talking about worshiping in the home with children. And I think that this is a great topic. I think it's a topic where many families are wanting to do what's right. They're seeking to do what they can, and yet they run into challenges, and they are wondering, how can we make family home evening, for example, more effective and more of a worshipful experience? How can we improve in our family prayers, scripture studies, and other ways in our home? So we're talking with the experts here dealing with young children from the Primary General Presidency, and I am just ready and anxious to learn all of the great secrets.
I'm not sure there are secrets to it, but there can be helpful things, I think, that help us to improve our worship in the home so that it really has a good effect upon our families and drawing us closer together and feeling love for one another and the Spirit in our homes.
You know, that's good, and I feel comfort in that. Is I think so many people think there are secrets, or there's the three magical things that you do and you'll have bliss, and people will be singing Kumbaya and in family home evening and swaying to there is beauty all around. If only we could discover the three magic secrets. Mm-hmm. And I like what you're saying, is this is a discovery process, and mm-hmm. there are principles that can drive our practices. And I think that when our practices are helping those principles come to pass, good things will always happen. Sometimes, for example, I think we look at family prayer as a checklist item rather than an opportunity to be able to pray together, to gather our faith together as a family. So we miss the principle of faith-filled families with the practice of a family prayer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. I was talking to my daughter just the other day, and she was talking about their family prayers in the morning. And she said they have started letting their children, asking their children if there were things they were concerned or worried about that day. And to hear young children praying for each other, she said, is the sweetest experience you can imagine. And It draws their family close together. They feel united and feel their love for one another. And she said, just that simple thing of saying, are there things you are worried about? And it changes their family prayers from just, we've got to do it and get it done, to something that really matters mm-hmm. to them.
So they're praying for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
And then right along with that is, I have knelt in prayer with my grandchildren and had my son or one of my daughters-in-law talk to their children at the end of the day as they're kneeling in family prayer or personal prayer, and having the children stop and think about, what are you grateful for today? What are some of the things that happened today that blessed you and that made you happy and that you're grateful for?
You know, this is so important, I think, as I'm listening to you talk about this, is the role of parenting is not simply to conduct an event. But as you were talking, I couldn't help but think it's to lead and to guide. There's the I am a child of God coming moment. Lead me, guide me, walk, pray beside me, worship beside me, teach me, you know, all that I must do is, I think of as a missionary, we teach individuals, here's how you pray. And we do that. And with children, sometimes I think that we just take for granted that they're going to know to be able to what they should say, how they should frame that. But I like these ideas of talking before prayers, of priming, helping this discussion. What a great teaching tool for parents.
And then that consistency.
Oh.
I've just, you know, I remember in my home growing up, every morning I remember kneeling around our kitchen table as a family in family prayer, starting every day. I remember every night kneeling in the living room as a family, closing the day with prayer.
Oh, that's so important. As a matter of fact, I don't want to get emotional over this, but as you were speaking, I remember as a missionary when things were difficult, learning a language, and people were not just clamoring to come join the gospel, and we were rejected day after day. And wondering if I'd be able to pull through. And so many times in my missionary experience, I knew I could do this because I knew my family was praying for me. I knew that for a fact. And you know how I knew that? Is what you were saying is because I had older brothers serving missions, and every day my family gathered no matter what. And I knew that they were doing that for me. And I drew upon that strength from my childhood days of knowing that those prayers were being offered. Yes, I love that. I appreciate you sharing that.
The prayers we have in our families often have great effects many years later that we didn't realize were going to happen. I think so often of sweet experiences I had in prayer with my mother, and those come back to bless my life still and help me know of our Heavenly Father's love. It's a powerful experience that really continues on for many more years than you think.
Well, I agree. As a matter of fact, I can't help but think of the great blessings, as I've already mentioned, in my own life. Here's an interesting thought. As one of the great privileges and cherished moments of my parenting was raising my children in prayer, kneeling by a bedside with young children, teaching them to pray. I look back as a father. That's some of my most cherished experiences in going in and praying with my children in those early stages. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, that's really where I learned the language of prayer as a child. That's where I learned the language of prayer. That's where I learned that I could kneel and pray to my Heavenly Father and seek guidance and seek comfort. And then I helped my children with that pattern, and now I see them helping their children in that same pattern.
That's good.
I'm thinking about an experience I had as a young mom with my oldest little boy. He was just about 2 at the time. And we had lost a library book, you know, and you think, oh, that's not a big deal. But I remember so vividly, we had looked everywhere, couldn't find it, and kneeling down and offering a prayer with him at my side that somehow we'd be able to find that book to return it. It was due. And within minutes, I had this impression to look again under the couch where I had already looked. And I had him help me, and we moved the couch out from the wall, and there was the book.
Oh, sweet.
And so as a little tiny boy, he knew that we could pray to Heavenly Father and speak to him and receive answers. And I think that is an important thing, even for children when they're very, very young, to connect with our Heavenly Father and establish that pattern of communication and a relationship with him.
Do you know, I remember when one of my oldest sons was in college, he came home and he asked, Mom, have you seen my wallet? And I said, have you prayed about it? Because I always think it's a scary thing when you've lost a wallet. And he said, oh, Mom, I don't think Heavenly Father really cares about he has a much more important things to be concerned about than where my wallet is. And so we looked around a little bit, and he left and went back to, he was living off campus somewhere, and he thought maybe he just left it at home. And then a few days later, he came back, and I asked him if he had found his wallet, and he said no. And as we started talking about it, he thought, oh, one more place he could look. And he ran out to look in his car, and he came back in just triumphantly. He had found his wallet, and he said, Mom, I didn't even need to bother Heavenly Father about it. And I just said, I know, but I have.
Oh, that's great.
And he always said, he wrote in his journal, that was a great lesson, that no matter what the situation, you can kneel and pray.
Let's shift gears a little bit to another aspect of worshiping within home. Family scripture study. This is a great blessing to families. I'm convinced of that families who study the scriptures will be inspired. I think of what we learn from the Book of Mormon, where when we read the scriptures, they will tell you all things that you should do. And then, of course, later on in the few verses later, then it talks about that the Holy Ghost will show you what to do. And when you combine those two together, there's power. And families can use that power. So when we talk about scripture study with children, this can be a challenge for some families. How do we engage younger children, or when we have multiple ages in scripture study? What are some ideas that you've either come across, experienced, or suggestions that you might give families in situations like that?
It seems like when children are very young, if you can help them to open a book and to follow along or to say a word and let them follow after and say that word or say a phrase and let them repeat the phrase so that they're engaged in it rather than just sitting and being expected to listen for long periods of time, it helps them to be excited about it and to have opportunities to see what, you know, to be a part of the experience. And as they grow in their age and maturity levels, they can be more and more involved and contribute more and more so that they are really a part of the scripture study. Of course, there's a million ways to do that. And
that's a good point.
And there's not one right way.
That's
to
good.
Help
That's
children read the scriptures. And I think it changes over time as the children grow in age and everything. They, you know, one way that works really well doesn't work in another month. And so you kind of have to be open and to seeking revelation and seeking the Lord's Spirit to direct you in how you do it so that your family practices can change to meet the children's abilities and ages and, you know, where they are.
That might be the most important part there is that what you were just saying there, to sum that, where you said there are many different ways, but when you start to look at it, there is a common principle for all of us. And that is, I like the engagement part. We need to find ways to engage that might be done in different age groups and in different ways. But the real thing we're trying to do is engage and let them be part of this experience. That's really good.
I remember reading about a family that said, you know, we wanted to have family scripture study. We tried to have it, but it just never seemed to work out until they decided that they were going to make it a habit and that they were going to read something every day, no matter how, even if it was only one verse. They could read 10 pages, but at least one verse every day. And then they would record how many consecutive days they did this.
Oh, that's good.
And they said just doing that made all the difference. And they were able to develop a family habit of reading the scriptures.
You know, I think that that's like health. People say, I want to be in better health. And so I tried it and it's just not working out for me. I did it yesterday and it just didn't work out for me. But those who stick to improving their health or any element, spirituality, I like what you're saying is as they make that a habit, it becomes part of them. And they actually, in my experience, they grow into it and it grows into them and they learn to adjust because this is who we are and this is what we do.
Well, and I thought it was interesting as I read that story, I think it was out of the Ensign that I read it. This father was telling this experience and he was telling how one night both he and his wife had to be away at meetings. And when they came home, the wife reported that the 8-year-old and 10-year-old had read to the younger children.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because it had become such a habit in their family.
That is so nice.
I think one of the things that can add to our scripture study is to think about it and talk about it with our children after we've read a verse or two so that you can apply what you're learning really to gospel living in your own life. And it helps children, I think, to really connect with the scriptures when you talk about, well, what would that mean? And not just always talking at them, but encouraging their responses with open-ended questions so that, you know, you can accept and appreciate what they say and see what it means in their own lives and hearts and carry on a conversation that brings the scriptures really to life in your own family.
I'm so happy you said that. I'm feeling much better about myself. Our family is notorious for not covering very many scriptures in our family scripture study, and we try to align it with when we've had children in different primary settings, in Sunday school settings or seminary settings, and try to read along. And we are always so far behind because it becomes more of a discussion experience where we get a few verses and then talk a lot. And I'm glad you said that because it's really been a great experience for us is making these scriptures part of us.
Well, and then also if we would use the scriptures to help solve problems and go to the scriptures and what do the prophets say? What do the prophets say about the Sabbath day? You know, and help take our children there for solutions to their personal problems.
Oh, that's great.
It can also really be something that brings the Spirit in your family and in your lives. I remember reading a story about a family, I think it was in the Ensign as well, about they were reading and started reading. They were reading about the Savior's atoning sacrifice. And the father pretty much could hardly read a word. And he asked a child to read, and the child couldn't read either because they both had this feeling about it. And then another child thought they would chime in and start reading, and pretty soon the whole family was having a sweet experience of really feeling an appreciation for the Savior that was really prompted by their scripture reading and where they felt the Spirit in their life and home.
That's so good. You know, Sister Stevens, when you're saying that, I think that is so important. Is it is an opportunity to fill the Spirit together. All of these are elements to fill the Spirit together. Ironically, at least in sometimes in my experience with parenting, is when we gather our family together to have these experiences which will bless and edify and inspire us, the initial going is sometimes a bit rough. Okay, it's time for family night. Oh, no, not family night. How long is this going to take? I have homework. It's time for family prayers. Oh, he's touching me, you know, kind of a thing. And ironically, as a parent, sometimes when we try to do the most meaningful things together in our worship as a family, that initial stage can be a little bit rough. In my experience, it's you need to persevere through the initial stage, and things do come together. And if we're not willing to persevere, we miss the experiences like you're talking mm-hmm. about of filling the Spirit.
One of the great blessings of starting young with these, you know, practices in your own home is that usually children love when they're little to have family home evening. They are so excited. And so it helps to set a pattern and set a tone in your home if you can start when they're young. Of course, it's never too late.
That's
it's
right.
It's always important to try no matter what stage our family is and to, as you say, persevere and make it meaningful.
And then if we discuss as a family the promised blessings for doing these things, I remember hanging on my fridge some promises that Elder Romney said that would happen if we read our scriptures faithfully every day. And I hung those on my fridge, and that was one of the reasons that I was so determined to be consistent with my children.
That's excellent. You are listening to the Mormon Channel. This is Gospel Solutions for Families. Today we are talking about worshiping in our homes with children. We are joined with two members of the Primary General Presidency, Sister Jean A. Stevens and Sister Cheryl A. Esplin. And I'm Matthew Richardson, a member of the Sunday School General Presidency. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about family home evening and how we might be able to make that a meaningful opportunity to worship together, especially with children. What's the first thing that pops in your mind about meaningful family home evening with children? What
pops in? Engaging them.
Okay, good, good.
Children can teach beautiful family home evening lessons, and when they prepare it, of course, they learn the most. It does a lot of things to have children teach. They love teaching, and teaching, and they can do it well. I heard a little boy the other day say this. This was very interesting. We were talking about family home evenings, and he said, he was about 10 years old, and he said, you know, when I prepare lessons and I teach, I am learning how to teach as a missionary. And I thought that was pretty insightful for a young boy himself to think of that. And he welcomed the opportunity, and he loved it. So if we give children opportunities and don't always feel like it has to be the parent doing all the teaching and the children doing all the listening, that when it's a child directing it as well. And we have wonderful resources and materials to help them.
That's good.
The nursery manual teaches the doctrine beautifully in a way a child can take it and just teach it themselves.
That's so
with
good.
Engaging activities to go along with it.
I believe in that. I look at my own experience with our family home evenings, and we have different components that we go through each week, you know, the song and the lesson, and we read from, we have a family constitution. We do all these little things that we do, but it's not age limited, and it's not limited in any way, shape, or form. So if you are 3 years old and it's time for lesson, it's your turn to do lesson, because they can do that, and they can do all of these things. And it's been really a wonderful thing to be able to be taught by and taught with children of all ages.
As children teach, then they see some of the elements of cooperation that it requires, and they learn about that too, you know.
That is good. That is so good. When we talk about family home evening, what are some ways that they can participate to make it meaningful? We talked about lessons, et cetera. Other specific helps that you've learned in your experience that help children engage in that process, or things that we can do to help them to gain the confidence to be part of family home evenings?
We just have so many resources that are helpful. That gospel art kit where they can take a picture and talk about a principle that goes along with the picture, but
So using visuals is an important part with younger children. I think that that's a good connector.
And that's what's so wonderful about this new nursery manual. It wasn't written just to teach nursery children. It was created with the idea that it could be used in a home and used for home evening and let the children teach. And it has many visuals that they can use right there in the manual. And
you know, that's so good to know, because I think in some cases parents wouldn't even know to think about using a nursery manual to help implement that process in a family home evening. That's a good tidbit to know.
I was a part of a wonderful family home evening one time when I was out of town visiting one of my married children, and they had such a great idea for their family home evening. The children and the parents were all part of making a video. And it was so fun. They reenacted one of the Book of Mormon stories about the story of going to get the brass plates from Laban. And, you know, everybody took a part, and it taught the children in such an engaging way, and they were so excited about it. And then they had that, they made this video, and so they had it to look at over and over. And remember when we were only, you know, this old, and we made this video, and look, you were Laban, and, you know.
That is so fun.
It made family home evening and the scriptures come to life, where they really learned from it. And
you know, that is so good.
And here again is the joy of being together, the feelings of love and unity that it can create.
When you were speaking, I was thinking of a silly thing that we've done in our family over the years, especially when our children were younger. We would capture often on videotape just family home evenings in general of them teaching a little lesson, and not anything what someone might say is grand or special, but it was just their turn. So we have our children teaching family home evening lessons at the age of 3, 5, 7, 12, 17. And it has been a treasure to be able to see individuals growing within the gospel and experience. And the thing I like about that when you're bringing is it's a reliving experience, but it's also the connector again. And it's a great reminder that this is who we are and what we've done.
You know what's so fun, too, is children love it. And so they clamor for us to have home evening, have family prayer. They love the feeling that it brings into our homes. And so they're often the ones that remind us that we need to have it.
I like what I'm hearing, and I'm learning so much. I like to hear different ideas. As was mentioned, there's so many ways to do this. And I think that there is no shame to learn from others. As a matter of fact, I am a professed gleaner. I have spent my life gleaning things from marriage to families, from other people, and saying, I like that. I don't like that. I like that. How can we adopt that to fit within our family needs? And I just love to hear different ideas. One thing that I learned was actually in general conference. And so some people say, well, you don't learn about family home evening in general conference. Actually, you're always learning about family home evening in general conference. And it was, I was doing some studying on general conferences, and Marion D. Hanks talked about the importance of bearing testimony to your families. I thought of my own experiences. Rarely did I ever hear my siblings bear their testimony unless it was in a sacrament meeting or if they were in similar age for youth group experiences. And I grew up in a family with 7 children, which meant that the outer, you know, age limits that weren't close to mine, I hardly ever heard them bear their testimony. He encouraged that we did that. And so as part of our family home evenings, we have our lesson and we go through articles of faith. One of them is testimony. And to be quite honest, that has been one of the greatest things that I've learned in our family, is making that part of our family. That's where we taught our children to bear their testimony, was in family home evening rather than at the pulpit whispering in their ears. Not that that's anything wrong with that, but it's been a sweet experience to share testimony each week. So in my case, is we still have 4 members in our home at the time. Every 4 weeks, it's my job to bear my testimony to my family, and vice versa. It's been a wonderful experience.
And that almost brings that idea of a second and third witness.
Oh,
you know,
good.
As our children can hear more than one witness, you know,
that's
it
good.
Strengthens them.
Extended families can add to that. And I am thinking of an experience that was outside the walls of our home, but certainly a family experience. We happened to be in Palmyra together with the grandparents of, you know, our family and aunts and uncles. And as we shared testimony in that sacred setting, we all talked about later how each other's testimonies kind of became woven together with our own. And experiences they shared there just became a part of us. And that happens in families when you hear each other's testimonies. It strengthens your own and kind of becomes a part of your own.
That's so good. As a matter of fact, I can't help but think of how technology weaves into these possibilities mm-hmm. with Family Home Evening. I know of families who hold Family Home Evening with extended family through technology, means like a Skype experience mm-hmm. where they have this. Granted, they have different ranges, different ages, but there is something about weaving those experiences together in worship as a family.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of fathers that are away in the military and will call and have, you know, experiences with their family.
We are short on time, like always, when we talk about good topics, but there's one thing I wanted to get your input on and your ideas. What do you do when you have family worship experiences and you have interruptions? Case in point, friends that are happen to be over at the house and it's time for family prayer, or you have people who are visiting and it's Monday night and you would have your family home evening. Any thoughts on that? What do you do with that?
I don't mind saying, would you like to join us? Because if there are children in your home that sometimes don't have that opportunity in their own home, what a beautiful experience to include them so they have a vision of what can be in their lives if they want it, you know, and live for it. And if people don't include them, then how would they ever know?
That's good.
You know, if other families don't include them.
You know, we had several of our children had friends who they were the youngest in their family, and their parents had already raised all these children, and by the end, you know, you kind of let up a little bit. And we often had some of these children that would come over, and they joined us for family dinner and our family activities often. And then it was a great way for them to learn.
I was thinking when our youngest son was in high school, I can still see in my mind's eye his friends come over and say, well, Sister Stevens, what are we having for family home evening tonight? And just a whole group of them would come on Monday night. And it was perfect for us because he often thought he had a lot of one-on-one parenting when he was the only one left at home. And so to include his friends in our family home evening and family prayer was really a choice experience for all of us. We loved it.
We heard a cute experience yesterday where a wolf leader had a family home evening so that some of these little members of her wolf den could all experience a family home evening because many of them didn't have it in their homes.
That is such a great idea. I think that that's a wonderful element. If the gospel is part of us, it's who we are, it really enlightens us, then we carry on, don't we? And in different ways of helping others be enlightened as well. I love that idea. And I've always been similar to what you are expressing here is this is what we do. It's time for family prayers. If you're in our home, you're a Richardson. So please kneel down with us and we will embrace you. We even have family hugs afterwards and we hug everybody and some are a little overwhelmed. But actually, I think that they really are embraced by the opportunity to be connectors because that's really what the gospel does is it connects families, and our worship connects families in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really the great blessing.
And worship really becomes more than an event. Like you say, it's the things we do, the things we are.
That's so good. As a matter of fact, I can't help but think of my 3-year-old granddaughter who's been living with us for the last few months. She will ask on a Tuesday, is tonight family night? No, that was last night, sweetie. Oh, okay. And then the next day is tonight family night. When can we have family prayers? And I'm thinking something right is happening here where it is not just an event, but it's something that we joyfully engage in. But that's the gospel of Jesus Christ is joyful engagement in every aspect from our personal lives to our family lives, whether we're children or adults, I think. Well, it's been a privilege to spend time with you today and to learn from you. I am grateful for the things that are taught within general conferences, church meetings. You mentioned several times there's so many resources to help families, whether that's on LDS.org to help us in that situation, nursery manuals, primary manuals, every resource we can find to help children to be guided in the gospel. You are truly a blessing to the church, your own families, and especially to me. And we are grateful. We thank you for joining us on the Mormon Channel. This has been Gospel Solutions for Families as we have talked with members from the Primary General Presidency. Thank you for joining us on this important topic.
Gospel Solutions for Families is a program by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.